Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to The Hard Worker with Pete, the Job Guy Langlois. If you're looking for a job or looking for any kind of candidates, this is the show you need to hear. So tune in now, of course, and every Sunday morning at 8 to answer any questions you might have about jobs, because this is your show. This expert show is your guide to everything jobs. This is a place where you can hear about new job opportunities and get free extensive career advice from local business leaders themselves. The staffing industry's leading authority, Pete, the Job Guy Langlois, explores the failures and successes behind Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And he does it while discussing hot workplace issues with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter. Take it away, Pete.
All you hard workers out there, this is Labor Day weekend. Congratulations, this is your weekend. Tomorrow is your day. This is where we celebrate all the contributions of the workforce. And it's like our birthday, because we're all working, right? We're not trust fund babies sitting on piles of $100 bills. It's none of us. We are the workforce of today and tomorrow, and tomorrow is our day, and I hope you're having a great weekend. You're eating hot dogs and hamburgers with the kids. Maybe if you got a boat and you're on the water, you're going to go down to Fort George. Who cares? Relax, enjoy, because, you know, that's kind of funny. We celebrate our contributions as workers in the United States. And how do we celebrate it? By not working. I love it. Oh, man, I'm going to talk to you today about a bunch of different things. And we have a great guest lined up for you. We even have leadership lessons from Coach Larry. It's a new segment we're having. I can't wait to intro that and have Larry come on and help us out. But first, I want to talk to you about the rapper and the prize. And by the rapper, I'm not talking about a poet that likes to make music and needs two turntables and a microphone where it's at. No, not that kind of rapper. I'm talking about a prize or a present that comes in a wrapper. It's wrapped up in something. Okay? Now, if you listen to the show regularly, you know I'm kind of new to social media. I still refer to Twitter as the Twitter and the Instagram and the social media. Okay? I'm kind of new to it. Facebook, I've been on Facebook for a little while, which, you know, I understand the younger generation has kind of moved away from Facebook. I don't know. I'm still on it, and I put new posts up here and there. But what I've noticed on the Instagram and the Twitter, especially Instagram, is there's no shortage of people that dispense information, and that information, they give it to us, and it's supposed to change our behaviors, right? There's a lot of people that either through video or interesting post, and then they tell us, here's what you should eat. Here's the fashion. Here's the career advice that I'm going to give to you. Here's the way you should do things. And what I'm noticing is they're self-proclaimed experts, and they have a wealth of knowledge on whatever the topic du jour is. And to me, it's mind-boggling to me that these folks have no credentials or experience, or very little, in whatever topic that they're telling us about. You know, for instance, let me give you this one. I saw an Instagram post the other day, and this gentleman proclaims that he can make anybody a millionaire through his online program. All you have to do, he can make you a millionaire, right? Now, the great thing about the internet is it takes just a couple of minutes. You can do a cursory review of somebody's name, and you can pull up their background experience. And I happened to find this gentleman, right? And he is an attendant at a local gym. Now, listen to me. There's no shame in that game. Okay, that's a job, and anything to do with jobs, that's all about me, and there's no shame in that. But I can't believe that his own program works. You know, I can't believe that he's a millionaire donating his time at the gym, greeting people and cleaning up and doing all the things that an attendant at a gym would do. I can't believe he's doing that at a close to minimum wage job, or he's just doing it out of the kindness of his heart. See, what I'm saying is he's telling me that he's got a way. He's telling all of us how to be a millionaire online. But yet, it's not working for him. So why tell me? Okay? And if you haven't noticed, There's no shortage of, like, bikini-clad women that are at the beach and, you know, taking kind of suggestive pictures that, you know, and then you read the message that they're putting out, right? And the message is deeply philosophical, and it's and it tells us, you know, how we can be like them and achieve Zen and be very relaxed and calm and have a great life like theirs. And they have, they don't even have enough years of experience in the workforce and or enough years to know. Their boyfriend could break up with them next week and they're down in the dumps and the whole Zen cracks apart to nothing. I mean, what I'm saying is it comes in a nice wrapper, right? You know, it comes in a nice wrapper, but the prize isn't all there. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with being aesthetically appealing. You know, these people that are aesthetically appealing that dispense information, that's great. But what I'm saying is when you focus more on the content, right? When you focus more on the wrapper, what it's wrapped in and what it looks like, then the actual content that you're delivering, and you're asking me to change my habits based on the information that you're sharing, I got a little bit of a problem with that, you know? And, you know, I don't want to discredit people, because if people genuinely want to help others by giving them information that's going to help their lives to be better in some way, shape, or form, that's great. But you really should have some time-tested credentials or experience that if you're going to speak from a position of being an expert and you're going to ask others to change their behaviors based on your opinion and your advice, you really should get out there and get some more experience. This is just the way I feel. Right? Now, for me, I give people career advice, anything to do with jobs, okay? I give people career advice. I share my own personal failures and successes to help others, right? My undergraduate degree is in workforce education. I've been in the workforce for 30-plus years. I have run staffing companies, right? Now listen to this, okay? I've placed thousands and thousands of people in my career. I've helped thousands of companies find the talent. I'm an expert at giving career advice. I'm an expert. And I'll also tell you this, from a leadership perspective, 20 years ago was when I first started being a leader, even before that. And I managed a team of one subordinate employee. That's all. But I've built my way up, and I have credibility because I, for the last 9 years, have been the chief operating officer of a $120 million company with 37 offices nationwide and over 450 employees. I speak from a position of credibility, and I give you advice, and I expect nothing in return. So the content that I deliver to everybody, okay, the content, which I will refer to as the prize, is a whole lot better than the wrapper that it comes in, okay? And this is what I have to say to you right there. You are welcome. Ha ha! All right. Aaron, with me as always is the world famous Aaron Mills. Woo-hoo!
Hello!
Aaron, you might have, you know, you're a millennial. Oh, no. You're more than 25 years younger than me, which is fine. It's okay, but your perspective on this might be different than mine. What do you think about the rapper and the prize and Instagram and the Twitter?
Yeah. I would say that I think a lot of people on Instagram probably place themselves as self-proclaimed experts. Mm-hmm. But then the other half, I think they're just trying to talk about their journey on whatever they're trying to get to, whatever their goal is. Like, for instance, me, I always claim and I always say that I'm not an expert, but I am sharing my experience with you. And if they can take away anything from it, then that's awesome. If not, they just like looking at stuff on my Instagram.
Yeah. Which is great, you know, because it is. It's entertaining and it's fun to see stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love the information sharing.
Yeah.
I guess I just get twisted up in a knot when especially when this guy's trying to tell me how to be a millionaire and he's, you know, working a minimum wage job. And as you if it doesn't work for you, how is it going to work for me?
Yeah, I would say the same thing with parenting. Like when I was pregnant, people were like, oh, don't do this with the baby and don't do that. I'm like, do you have any kids? And they're like, no, my sister has a kid. I'm like, oh, great. Perfect. You're an expert. Got it.
Right. Well, you know, let's move right along. We're happy to have our guest today. And our guest is John Powell. Mm-hmm. And John is the Senior Director of Research and Education at Next After. And John, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Glad that you guys have me here.
We're certainly glad you'd be here. What is Next After?
That's a really good question because it's kind of an unusual name. Like, what's next after this? That's exactly how the name of the company was formed. But it was formed by my boss, a guy named Tim, and he has this passion to understand why people give.
Yeah.
Like, why do people donate to not-for-profit organizations? Why do they give at all? And let's just decode generosity, because if we can decode generosity, then we can determine how to inspire people to become more generous, right?
Wow.
Like, how do we, and his big thing has always been, like, how do we make the most generous generation of the world? Well, we got to decode generosity. And so what Next After does is they use all the tools of the digital world. So think about all the digital marketing that you've ever experienced, right? Ads, emails. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get a lot of emails from not-for-profits. All those different things. Well, what we can do is we can run tests. And people, they're not even aware that they're in a test. We can test one message against another and determine which one was better at inspiring the generosity, maybe saying the mission, maybe saying it in a way that's more tangible, even the way in which you make an ad.
Wait a second. You know? This sounds incredibly analytical.
Yes.
I mean, you got it. In last week's show, we had big data folks on, and the two ladies, Katie and Carly from NLP Logic,
awesome.
They were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big data guy, right?
I guess you could say that. Maybe it's not as big data as they are, right?
Yeah.
They're like mathematics statisticians. I like to think of myself not quite as an academic, but in between of the normal guy and the academic. I take that stuff and I say, what can you, nonprofit, do with this? What can you learn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you need to write your email like this to inspire the most generosity.
Ah.
Maybe you need to change the way your ad looks by this to inspire the most generosity. Maybe you need to offer this to them instead of asking them to give outright. Build a relationship with them first, and here's the proof. So that's where the data comes in. It's there for the proof.
Well, you know, that's exciting, and you know, just hearing what you do, and I can hear the passion, and I can see
a lot
it.
Of passion,
right?
Getting
there.
Up out
the
of his seat.
The listeners can't see it, but I can see the true passion, and this is one that when your head hits the pillow, you got to feel good about what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of understanding why people give or why people buy, which is what I used to do for 10 some years. So to be able to take what I love to do, which is understanding why consumers tick, what makes them act, right? And then to apply it to a world where, you know, it's about generosity, it's about giving back. I mean, it's a 1-2 punch for me.
Wow, that's exciting. That's exciting. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your background prior to Next After.
Yeah, so, you know, up until, you know, Next After, I'd spent probably 10 or so years in this why do people buy kind of stage. And I worked with a company that's local. They're local. They work with a lot of companies internationally and nationwide. They're called Mech Labs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're kind of an institute. And the whole thing was, why do people buy? Mm-hmm. And so I spent a number of years, you know, running my own experiments with big clients, you know, like H&R Block, Verizon, mm-hmm. people of that magnitude, even small businesses. And then I had a chance to actually go over all of the experiments and come up with these patterns. And, well, that's great and wonderful and all, but you know, there's something about, you know, what do I do with this? What am I going to I had this moment. What am I going to do with this? I'm just helping people buy more stuff. And
right.
I've got enough stuff, right? Like, so,
Tim,
you know, I left Mech Labs to try and figure out how to do this inside a company. So I worked for a company called B+B SmartWorks. They're headquartered just outside of Chicago, and they're all Internet of Things for the industrial world, and you know, that was great. But then Tim came to me with this offer I couldn't refuse. He said, John, I would like for you to do for Mech Labs, but do it for the cause of generosity.
Wow.
And I, you know, I'm like, okay.
He sounds
what's
awesome.
What's the catch?
Yeah, right.
More pay. Okay. What's the catch? You know, more opportunity. You know, and so, and really, it's just, it's addictive.
You know, one thing, because what you're talking about really transcends all industries, and it's nice that you're in that nonprofit giving back space. But when I look at my own profession, you know, and I'm a professional salesperson, I'm a recruiter, I help people find jobs, and the market's changed, and I say it quite a bit, because back in the day, if I had a good quality candidate, I would simply open up the phone book and look at which companies this person would appeal to, and I would make a whole bunch of calls. When you take that philosophy nowadays, number one, there isn't a phone book. Everything's
right,
on the internet.
Phone book.
But number two, nobody answers the phone And shame on me if I ever make an uneducated sales call, right? Mm-hmm. Cold calls. If I call, number one, nobody answers the phone, right? Because we're trained from our devices. Even if I call my wife, she won't answer. But if I text her, she responds, right? So nobody, and if it's an unrecognized number, they have this little caller ID, unrecognized. I'm not taking that because somebody's going to sell me something. So now we need information to help us refine which activities are going to yield the best results. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of akin to what you do?
It is. I think you nailed it. It's what do I do in order to get the result that I'm looking for?
Right. And you use data and analytics to as your key determinants and and studies and tests. Tell us a little about the testing process and how people don't even know they're participating.
Yeah, I know. It seems kind of scary. But when you're online, you may or may not know it, but you might enter into a site. And they may have split you unknowingly into one experience, and somebody else simultaneously at the same time has been split into another experience. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we watch you.
That sounds so
but you don't know.
Scary.
No, we don't. You know, your personal identifying information is never a thing that's being watched, but it's always the activities, right? And so we'll record the activities, and then we'll aggregate them and measure them against each other. Now, and this is where you get, you know, last week's, which is the NL, you know, the statistics. Is there a statistically significant difference? Meaning, is there a meaningful difference? If this happened again, how likely would it be an error? We measure for that. So if I'm going to recommend something to a not-for-profit, I want to know that the risk of them putting that into action is low. Because you never know 100% what's going to happen, even if you have all the statistics in the world.
Yep.
But you can measure risk. And that's what we do. That's how it works.
You know, it's one thing in this is interesting. I'm going to turn this a little bit. And there's a lot of tests that determine the likelihood that even from like a pre-employment screening, like if someone is going to be successful, take this test and that's going to say you're more likely to be more successful than this person. You know, I think there's some wonka with that. What do you think of those pre-employment screening tests?
I'm glad you asked. Actually, I've got a personal vendetta with one of these.
Don't say which one.
I'm not going to say which one and what. But so I, you know, a lot of times when you work for big companies, they're going to use screening. They're going to use these different personality profile tests to try and determine if you're a good fit. And it's great-hearted. But what happens is if you don't understand what you're being compared to, then you could actually, somebody could, it may appear that you're not going to be as good of a fit for them, but in actuality, you are. So what would happen is I when I went to work for this company, not next after, but in one of these other companies, I had to take this exam, and I took it.
Here comes the vendetta.
Vendetta
alert, folks. Here it comes.
I thought I did great until I saw the results, and then my boss tells me, you know, if I were going by the results, I wouldn't have hired you. And I'm like, great, thanks, man. You know, so I'm thinking, oh, but he's like, but we've got this here so we can help you. So 1 year passes by, no difference in my results. 2 years passes by, no difference in my results. Now I'm actually running tests. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Now I'm actually out there speaking, sharing the findings, everything that I'm learning. No difference in results. What's going on here? I'm clearly doing well. I'm succeeding. They're so glad that they hired me and I'm representing the company. But why was it that the test almost sent me home?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I figured it out. You know, they're comparing you to something, right?
Yeah.
And just like if I'm running a test, I'm comparing one result to another. Well, when you actually look at who made the test, where they came from, I discovered that the particular person who designed this test was fleeing Nazi Germany. Oh my gosh, right? Crazy.
Yep.
Coming to America, and they had this idea of who the ideal person was, which was modeled after the 50s and the 60s. Somebody who didn't really have any interest in any faith. They were very American. And so what was happening is I was being compared to this theoretical norm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm totally not that. In fact, what I found on the internet, okay, I really got into this, is that people from different nationalities outside of America were struggling with this test, and they were online trying to figure out how to cheat it. And there's no way to cheat it but except to figure out, okay, what do I know about the maker? So I looked at the maker. I looked at his values. I looked at his writings. And then I figured out exactly how to take the testing.
There was a bias in this.
Yes.
Yes.
And I got the perfect score. And I was the perfect employee. They were like, oh, my gosh, John, you are so amazing. I'm like, no, I just cracked the test. I wanted to make a point. Now, I'm not against these tests.
Right.
What I was against is that leaning too heavily on it.
Right.
And so that's why when it comes to things like this, it's great. It's helpful. There's, risk. You're reducing risk. But at the end of the day, you can't ignore your intuition. You can't ignore what you see. You can't ignore all of these other things.
If I could package that up in a bottle, right, and put it in a bottle and have these companies that I work with who believe and they give so much validity to these tests, and they make hiring decisions based on the tests. It's not a factor in the overall decision. It is the key determining factor. Nope, he does not have this, so we're not going to be able to use this person. I've been in this business a long time. I know how to. I know what a qualified candidate is, and I can tell based on the questions, behavioral interview questions that demonstrated work history, and also talking to their managerial references and understanding the background, because the test, to me, should never be the determining factor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Something is right as wrong. And that was the thing. There were other aspects of this test that were perfect. There was no right or wrong. It was just, who is this person and how do they interact with others?
Right.
But this one particular section was given so much weight and it was designed so well for managers to just look at it and say, like it, don't like it. They're good, they're bad. And it's just good lead scoring, I guess you could say. But it's.
Now, true to form with the nonprofit, you offer some free courses, right, to some of these nonprofit companies?
Right. So one of the things that I love about working with Tim and working with this company is that, we created these courses to sell initially, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to make some money, okay? I mean, we're a for-profit company, but we're cause-based. We're on a mission, but we still need to make money to continue to do this stuff. Well, initially we were thinking, okay, we'll charge $300, we'll charge $600. But then he started, it's like, I got to eat my own dog food. Like, I got to be generous. So he's like, we're going to give away the online experience. So when we develop these courses, this is going to teach somebody how to fundraise online. So if you are already doing work like this, or you know somebody that's doing work like this, they're trying to raise money, inspire generosity online specifically, and even offline, these courses will help you do just that. They'll teach you how to do it in Facebook. They'll also have to teach you how to do it in email, and they're free.
Yes.
You can go in there, and they're free. And one course is 9 hours long, all videos, all of that. One is 4 to 5, another one. So courses.nextafter.com.
Courses.nextafter.com.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's all free, and it's some of my best work. I'm really, really proud of it. And it utilizes all 1,100 plus experiments in the library.
Crazy.
That are freely published and, measure for things like statistical significance. But it's all there. If you want to, further your career in fundraising, maybe you're considering a career in fundraising or working with a nonprofit, or if you're a nonprofit and you know somebody, I'd encourage you to check it out.
Speaking of free, I happen to looked into your background. I see that you're a Taekwondo instructor as well for the Phil-Am community. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, that's one of my. It's funny. I was at jury duty maybe a month or two ago, and the judge asked. They were like, one of the lawyers asked, "Is there anybody here that knows anybody else?" And we're all sitting there, and then somebody raises their hand. They're like, "Yeah, I know John Powell over there." I'm like, "What?
Who are you?
I don't know you." And he's like, "Yeah, remember when you were teaching Taekwondo all the free?" I'm like, "Oh yeah." So it's not something but yes, I teach. I teach for free. I'm focused on the Phil-Am community. That's a Filipino American community.
Woo!
And it's not just, I'm gonna teach you guys how to chop blocks in half. I'm actually licensed the World Taekwondo Academy in Korea. So it's an outreach that's designed. So I actually have to eat my own dog food too in what I'm doing. I use the information from Next After to help grow that community and get support. And it's been amazing. There's so many bright kids that come here from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
They know two languages and they're really smart, but adapting to the culture can be kind of tough. And
right.
So one of the things I love about this art is that it's so forward, it's so confrontational, it's so confidence-based. Like, it gives people the skills that they need to kind of adapt to this culture and actually kind of get ahead. So I work, there's a lot of teenagers, there's some adults, so it's just really fulfilling for me and fun. I mean, I like to kick. I like to do crazy.
Right. It's a great outlet.
Butt.
It's
why
fantastic.
Not,
All right, look, we're at that time right now. John, sit tight. We're going to have you come back for the first part of the second part of our show. But let's pause right now to take a break and get a news and weather update. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Man, I'm going to tell you, that was a fun fun first action-packed half hour that we just had. John Powell was an incredible guest. That's a man that gives back, and he's got a great job helping nonprofits, and you could see the passion, everything that he talked about. Now, that's what, if you go back to the beginning of the hour, when I talked about the rapper and the prize. John is the prize. John has the prize. He gave great career advice to those of you that are, you know, thinking about, you know, what's your next step, all that. But I'm glad to have John here. He stayed with me through the commercial break, and he's back. And, John, love hearing people's career journeys. Mm-hmm. What would you tell your 20-year-old self right now?
That's a good question. So I've actually thought about that a number of times, and you know, I don't necessarily regret the steps that I take, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, becoming a personal assistant to learn the, you know, the foundations of digital marketing because I was kind of nervous about it. Like, I don't regret doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't regret some people thought that was not smart, but it was very smart. The thing that I wish I would have paid more attention to is not just the work that I'm doing, but the people that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like, I spend so much time trying to decode people externally, like why do they buy, why do they give, but I didn't spend enough time decoding how my coworkers work and how I can best work with them.
Wow.
And so it's a really kind of a humbling lesson.
Yeah.
And I look back and I said, you know what, if there's anything I could tell my 20-year-old self is, you know, the choices, it's fine, but spend more time optimizing how you work with people so you can get the very most out of each opportunity and
wow.
Everybody can benefit. It's a good lesson, and that's kind of why I still do the whole taekwondo thing, is because that gives me a chance to get that lesson mm-hmm. to kids before they, well,
that's awesome.
Learn the hard way.
Right. You know, John, we say, you know, every week we try to dispense advice that's going to help people in their careers, because your career is our journey. It's mm-hmm. not really a destination. You know, it's a journey, and it evolves. And sometimes you have the best laid out plans and life comes in and scrambles it like an egg, and you have to go in a whole new direction. That's part of life. But I love it when people get introspective, you know, mm-hmm. and we're the sum total of our life's experiences right now. OK, and it's nice to say, you know, if I did more of this or less of this, and that's the benefit of hindsight. Back in the day when you're living it, you're going fast and furious, just trying to do the best you can. It's nice to have the wisdom of age and experience, even though you're a relatively young man. You can look back and say, you know, a little bit more of this, a little bit less of this. We can't change it, nor would we want to change our mm-hmm. our coding right now. This is who we are. But when we tell others, especially young people entering the workforce, mm-hmm. that this is what I, John Powell, or I, Pete Langlois, or I, Aaron Mills, wish I did a little more of and a little less of, it's helping people steer their own personal ship on their journey. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Now, if people want to get more information, they want to reach out to you, John, and learn about Next After and some of your programs, how do they reach you and how can they see more information?
It's really simple. It's John without an H, J-O-N, at nextafter.com. Just email me directly. I'll respond. Whenever I do emails, like for our marketing quote-unquote emails, mm-hmm. I actually write them expecting replies. I mean, some weeks I'll have like 100 replies that
oh
I have to go
gosh.
Through on a single day.
Wow.
But that's because I want to create an expectation with people that mm-hmm. if you call me, I'll answer it. Even if I'm busy, I'll get to it. If you email me, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my first and foremost thing. And of course, nextafter.com. All the, you know, courses.nextafter is going to have the courses, but all the research is there at nextafter.com. And I think, you know, we're occasionally looking for, you know, folks in the digital world that want to help with digital fundraising and all uh-huh. of that. So there's some jobs there occasionally, but just reach out to me directly and I can kind of show you the right direction.
Ooh,
John Powell, I think you've been an outstanding guest. I appreciate you coming on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And folks, you heard how to get in touch with John. It's an exciting career path. And like I said, John, when your head hits the pillow, you got to feel good about what you do. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let's go into our next segment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're proud to have a new segment. We're featuring Leadership Lessons with Coach Larry. And we're proud to have Larry O'Brien on with us. Larry's the Chief Learning Officer with Mendoza and O'Brien. And Larry, you know what, tell us a little bit about yourself, please, sir.
Pete and Aaron, thanks so much for this opportunity. Yeah, I'm the Chief Learning Officer for Mendoza and O'Brien Leadership Development. We're a global organization focusing on helping managers become great leaders. So we do a lot of teaching on skill building, self-awareness, having that leadership mindset. And we also focus on executive coaching. So our coaches work one-on-one with leaders to help them get to that next level.
Right. And Larry, I happen to know a thing or two about you, right? And I know your career spans 20-plus years as an executive coach, as a leader, developing effective management leadership programs. That's why I have you on here, because you know the show is all about giving career advice to people. And I think you're a special guy, and I think you have some special advice to people. And each week, you're going to come on, and you're going to give some leadership advice to help managers become more effective leaders. And we appreciate that.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity. This really has been my life. Over 20 years working in Fortune 50 companies and businesses, working with leaders one-on-one and in the group setting, doing workshops and really helping people become the best leaders that they possibly can be. So I'm really excited for this opportunity to work with you all and the great people in your listening audience.
Yeah, we really appreciate you being here. So first off, Larry, give us a good leadership coaching lesson right now. What's a good tip?
Well, fantastic. So I know you've been talking about big data. And when I think of big data, you know, I was thinking about this study from MIT. And they did a study on what the most important leadership skills were for leaders. And what came out on top was to know yourself cold, to have that self-awareness, know your tendencies, your strengths, your weaknesses, and that came out above any other skill. So let me ask you a question, Pete. You don't have to answer this.
Right.
Did you notice that the more you got promoted, the better your ideas became? Maybe your jokes got even funnier. Maybe you even lost your weight, weight rather. But did you change?
Well, you know.
No.
No. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Maybe in your case, you changed. But the reality is that people feel uncomfortable giving leaders feedback. And the higher we go in an organization, the less we know. So it's how do we get that self-awareness or that big data on ourselves as leaders when people are reluctant to give it and exactly the time when we need it most?
You know, what so I found, if I may share, and tell me if this relates, because I have, you know, I've been a leader of leaders for many years. You know, as a chief operating officer, I have multiple regional vice presidents that have multiple branch managers, et cetera, reporting to them. And I have found that so many people are so remarkably unaware of how they're perceived by, you know, not only their subordinate employees, but managing up and sideways as well, laterally. People are unaware that their actions, you know, create these perceptions. I'm telling you, it's amazing that you're saying this because, I mean, you must have to take people really on a journey of self-awareness, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it's about getting in their heads a little bit and why is it that they don't ask for that feedback? You know, sometimes they're afraid to hear what, you know, there may be something that they're afraid to hear, so they don't ask. Sometimes they think it makes them look weak. As an example, and really it's quite the opposite. I mean, MIT here is telling us the number one thing that you need to do to be successful is be aware, have that emotional intelligence around your strengths and your tendencies. So it can be quite a challenge. So I have three tips for you as it pertains to, you know, getting some feedback.
Hey, Larry, I want to make sure people right now, like, this is the big thing about this show. If you sit and listen to the show and you get entertained, that's okay. That's not such a bad thing. But if you listen to this show and you do something differently as a result of the information that we share with you each week, it's going to be better for you. You know, your performance may improve. You'll be more effective, productive, or you'll avoid a pitfall or some of the failures that myself or some of my guests have had. And that's why we give advice. Larry is about to give three leadership tips right now, and I would encourage anybody – If you have a paper and a pen next to you, write this down. If you have a phone and you want to jot down notes to yourself, do it. This is the time where you're going to hear something that will help you. So go ahead, Larry.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, Pete, because some of these things, they're pretty simple, mm-hmm. right? But we don't implement them in the day-to-day, and that's the key to success. Mm-hmm. And that's completely aligned with being the hard worker, right? It's not that you know what to do. You just need to do it. So tip number one is to ask for specific feedback. I was coaching someone on self-awareness, and she said that she's constantly asking, how did I do? And all she hears is, oh, you know, great job. But that's not really helpful, is it? It might feel good for a little bit, but instead of saying or asking, how did I do, ask, how did I do at presenting the budget numbers in today's staff meeting?
Good.
That's much more specific. Or, share a little bit. I'm concerned that people were checking out during the presentation. What can I do to make it more engaging? Or, you know, bonus points if you ask this one, you know, if I could focus on developing one thing as a leader, what would that be? So that's tip number one, asking for specific questions instead of, how'd I do? Oh, you did fine. Thanks, right?
Uh-huh.
Lesson number two comes from Sheryl Sandberg. She's the COO of a company called Facebook, if anyone's heard about it.
I think I've heard of that.
You heard of that? But one thing I learned from her about a leader is that she would not let you leave her office or go away unless you told her something that she could improve upon. And now that's Sheryl Sandberg, a great leader. So, no, don't lock people in the office or in the conference room. But you got to be a little firm here. Ask for feedback. Give people some time. Be patient, but be firm, mm-hmm. and get that one thing. Have them think about it. And then number three, it's about how we react to the feedback, because you mentioned earlier, Pete, about some of leaders and their lack of self-awareness. It could be because maybe they get defensive. And when you get defensive, when you're hearing what you might not feel so good, then you tend to shut other people down. So, one thing I do is, if you start feeling defensive when someone's getting your feedback, change that defensiveness, replace that defensiveness with curiosity. And a simple knee-jerk reaction I do when I get defensive is, well, tell me more about that. Or ask questions about, what does that new behavior look like? And really, what impact might that new behavior have? And then finally, thank them for the feedback. And once you thank them, ask them to hold you accountable. So, hey, I agree. I'm going to do better at XYZ. Could you do me a favor? If I show that side of me again at that meeting, can you hold me accountable or take me aside or just remind me? That kind of changes the relationship, and people want to help you, and they want you to be successful. So you're engaging them in your own success.
You know what's great about this, Larry, and this self-awareness. This is hard for a lot of managers.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I've had good managers. I've had bad managers. I've had barkers that are just pit bulls and say, do this, do that. Yeah, I don't pay you to think and all that other stuff. You know, I've had that. This takes somebody that wants to be that great leader, that can put themselves out there and say, I need specific feedback. And they use the correct phraseology to get it specific, because ultimately they want to be a better leader for the people that report to them. I love the fact that as you said about Sheryl with Facebook, you know, she doesn't let people leave without giving them this mm-hmm. feedback to help make her better. That's fantastic. Now, I want to lock Erin up in a room and just lock her up and keep her there all day, because she's going to ruin everything if she comes out. That's the way it is. But I can't do that, is what you're saying, so I won't. Number three, it's like, you can't be defensive anytime you ask somebody like a question about feedback. What do you think of me? And give me specifics on what I can do. If I defended that for 1 second, you think I would ever get more feedback? It's not going to happen, because, you know, especially if you react to it in a negative way. This is fantastic. Larry, each week we're going to have you come on, and I know you're a busy guy, and I really appreciate you taking time out and sharing these tips with us and the audience. It's going to help us all to be better and more effective leaders. Larry O'Brien. Thank you, Larry.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And now it's the perfect time to go to the world-famous Aaron Mills with our job report. Take it away, Aaron.
Thanks, Pete. In the spirit of our hardworking Americans, happy Labor Day. I'm Aaron Mills, and this is your JOB report. The U.S. labor market was a mixed picture in July, but overall remains in good shape. In July, the U.S. economy added over 150,000 jobs, while the unemployment rate fell to 3.9%. Expectations for the economy added 193,000 jobs, with the unemployment rate falling to 3.9%. All in all, the August jobs report signals a continuation. Signals a continuation of moderate job growth for the temp help industry overall, and the general economy providing a positive labor market environment for staffing operators. Back to Jax, the location unemployment is still sitting at 4.2%, which is 0.5% higher than this time last year. I'm Erin Mills, and that is your JOB report.
Great job, Erin. And you know, Aaron, let's just talk about, first off, what Larry had to say. And you know, it is all about that self-awareness and asking for feedback that you might not necessarily want to hear. Yeah. What do you think about what Larry had to say in those three tips?
I think it takes a lot of humility to be able to do that. And you know, this saying, humility over hubris, and hubris is...
Isn't hubris like a broccoli? I think I had hubris in my salad.
I'm always using these new words every show. Hubris means pride or overconfidence. So I'm saying that, you know, it's always better to humble yourselves and to really look or take a reflection on yourself. And that's what I do every single day. I take a 25-minute reflection before I go to bed and see where I could have, you know, where I messed up and what I can do to be better the next day.
25-minute reflection?
I mean, you could do like a 2-minute reflection if you need to. Or you can drive in your car and turn the radio off. But then you wouldn't hear this awesome show. So never mind.
I love it. You know, when I think about the leaders that I know and the leaders that I've had, or, you know, better said, probably the managers I've had in some situations, this is such a foreign concept to ask, what should I do and what can I do better to help you? It seems like for a lot of them, that would be a real foreign concept because they don't want that feedback. They don't want to know. Mm-hmm. It's their way or the highway.
Yeah, I feel like that's really a loss for them, because once you take yourself out of your own body or take yourself out of your own mind and see how you interact with people outside of your body, then you'd be like, oh, I would never want to interact with myself again if I treat people that way. And so I think it's just good to remove yourself from that and see what actions you're doing every day to the next day. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, here's something we got to chew on too. Oh. As leaders, you know, it's a journey. You always want to be better. And Larry's talking about, listen, you meet with your folks. Here are the three tips. Ask for specific feedback. You know, I love what he said about Cheryl, the CEO of Facebook, that she's not going to let you leave the room unless you give her something to help her to be a more effective leader. And also, you know, making sure that we aren't defensive when we take that feedback. I think those are great tips. But, you know, some people, they don't have performance reviews. Like, they don't even do them. It's that that in itself is a foreign concept. You know, we have to get Larry, you know, to talk a little bit more about what is the correct frequency of having these types of performance reviews. You know, and it's not all about the manager telling you what you did right, what you did wrong, and what you need to do to be better. It's turning the tables a little bit. Okay, now it's time for, what can I do better? What specifically, how did I do when I did this, and what can I specifically do better to help you? Right?
Yep, I feel that.
Good stuff. And now I turn it back to when you think, Aaron, right? When we had at the beginning, the top of the hour, talking about the wrapper and the prize.
Yep.
And a lot of things look so great on the outside. We spend so much time and energy having this great wrapper, but the prize, the actual content isn't there. And when I mentioned in Instagram, these people with all these wrappers, right, all these great aesthetics and look at me, look at me, look at me, Their goal is to get more followers, more followers, more followers, and they get more followers on top of that. And it's all about me rather than giving back. Yeah. So I was excited that John Powell came on.
And such a strong speaker. I really like how he flips everything. He says it's not about me, it's all about you. What can I do to help you? How can I give you what you need to succeed? And because he does that, I feel like it turns back to him and it turns him into a really successful person.
Yeah. That's the prize.
Yeah.
That's the premise of the show, right? It's all about the content. We're giving back with zero regard for reciprocation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody to give me anything. We're just trying to give you information to help you to be more effective, more productive, to help you to be more successful. And that's what Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I want to tell you, if you are looking for that next step in your professional career, or if you need job assistance in any way, if you are an employer and you're looking for qualified candidates, whether you need one or you need 200, you call me, Pete the Job Guy. I promise you, I say it each and every week, qualified candidates are out there. There has not been a candidate genocide. I can help coach you so that you can find and attract the area's best talent. And if you think placing an ad is going to get it for you, good luck with that. So the best way to reach me is you can send me an email anytime, pete@petethejobguy.com. Or you can call me over at SNI Companies, 904-713-2550. I am surrounded by people that are better, faster, and smarter than me. Doggone it, if I've done one thing that's right as a leader, Mr. Larry O'Brien, is I've surrounded myself with people that are fantastic, like-minded. We have highly functional teams that if you need technology professionals, I got a technology team. You need accounting professionals, I got an accounting team. You need general office administrative clerical people, I have that. And if you need people in the O&G in the energy space, doggone it, I have SNI Energy. We have SNI Banking. Listen, we're specialists. We swim in very narrow channels. And when you do the same thing over and over every day, you become an expert. Myself and all the recruiters that work with me, we don't place nurses one day, light industrial folks the next, and then dabble in technology. No, sir, and no, ma'am. We do one thing only. We are specialty providers of professional staffing services, and we are freaking awesome. 904-713-2550 is our number. You can always reach me, Pete, at PeteTheJobGuy.com. I want to thank all you hard workers for listening, sharing your time with me and the world-famous Aaron Mills. I want to thank our guest, John Powell, and I want to thank Larry O'Brien and his Leadership Lessons with Larry that are going to be brought to you as part of a segment each and every week. So if you're smart, which I know you are because you're listening today, and you're committed to doing something different as a result of the time that you spent with us on this show, you are going to have a fantastic career. But right now, what I want you to focus on is your family and your friends, and you go out for the rest of this Sunday and tomorrow and enjoy your Labor Day. This is our day, hard workers.